question of law, and since we've been the victims of the letter of the law so often, we'd like to see the letters correct. Now, in the preparation for this public hearing on a proposed housing ordinance, the Housing Committee of the National Association prepared testimony to inform the public of the degree of housing segregation and discrimination that exists in Ann Arbor, and the reasons for our belief that the proposed ordinance is not simply weak, it is dangerous. We propose to show that approximately 75% of Ann Arbor's Negro population is contained within a contiguous area that's bounded by Brooks and Glen, Miller and Sunset, and with a thumb sticking over on the north side on Wall Street and up around Traver. We further show that as a result of this discrimination, Negroes non-whites who represent only 7% of the population occupy 42% of the dilapidated housing and almost 20% of the deteriorating housing in the city of Ann Arbor. Now, a careful analysis of the proposed ordinance shows that the term realtor is not even mentioned and suggests that instead of putting up controls against discrimination by these businessmen, it says, in effect, that you are free to continue your discriminatory practices except when handling some publicly assisted housing or dwellings that are a part of 5 contiguous units under the control of one owner. We also call your attention to the equally meaningless provision on financing, which would prohibit discrimination by financial institutions against an applicant who intends to buy 5 contiguous housing units. However, it would not prohibit discrimination if a Negro applied for a loan to purchase an existing single dwelling or duplex. Now, if you read the ordinance carefully, it says applicants to purchase multiple housing accommodations. Now, the NAACP maintains that the definitions employed and the activities excluded from coverage, that by these means, the Human Relations Commission almost succeeded in presenting an ordinance that even this council would accept. This apparently was no accident, since it was no secret that a major guide to the commission in preparing this ordinance was to conceive something that council would accept. Now, our study of the ordinance suggests that if adopted, it would make it easier to obtain apartments or rental units such as may exist in Pittsfield Village. However, it would have virtually no effect on existing family-type homes, namely single houses or dwellings. Now, there are many in this community, particularly some councilmen, the mayor, the real estate interest, and others, who would have the public believe that realtors either do not or do not want to discriminate. Now, in addition to many authoritative studies which prove that realtors do discriminate, the Human Relations Commission and a bipartisan council committee has made similar findings locally. But for those who are still skeptical, we refer you to a story in the news on March 15, in which the National Association of Real Estate Boards makes the following policy statement: that it is no longer considered an unethical practice to sell a home to a Negro in an all-white neighborhood. Now, it seems strange that this body would reverse a policy that did not exist. Now, in spite of this statement and the almost total absence in the proposed ordinance of any controls on a major part of their business transactions, we anticipate that the realtors will oppose this ordinance. We further expect that the Commission and the Council will continue to coddle this group and protect their traditional privileges to discriminate. And we believe that if a fair housing ordinance does not prohibit all discriminatory practices by realtors and financial institutions, or if it does not define a house as a housing unit, or if it fails to provide families with an equal opportunity to buy a home anywhere in the community, then it is a farce. This ordinance does none of these things, and unless it is amended to serve these purposes, then it should not be adopted. Now, in view of the failure at this point of any opposition to the ordinance to be aired at this public hearing or at any previous hearing held by the Human Relations Commission in June 1962, it is difficult to understand why the Council and the Commission are the only community groups that are dragging their heels. I believe it would serve the best interest of the community if the mayor and the council would ask for any opponents to the ordinance to speak now. And I believe that those who are in favor of an ordinance would forego the privilege of speaking to this council in order that we might get action. Therefore, we see no valid reason why the council cannot ask the city attorney to prepare on the basis of the testimony today and the things that have been submitted to the council and the commission to prepare an ordinance that meets the wishes of the public as expressed here tonight, and adopt this before the end of this present council session to avoid further delays that might be encountered by the coming on to the council of new council members in April. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
That was Mr. Albert Wheeler representing the NAACP. Mr. Wheeler's wife, Emma Wheeler, is the president of the Ann Arbor chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. We are in the Old City Hall in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The public hearing for the Fair Housing Ordinance of the City of Ann Arbor. This is the first public hearing.
Mr. Mayor, members of City Council, I am Donald Pelz from 1824 Arbordale. I'm here tonight on behalf of the Life and Work Department of the Ann Arbor Council of Churches in the absence of the chairman, Reverend George Laurent, who had to attend a meeting of his church. I will be very brief. A letter containing the suggestions of the Life and Work Department has already been submitted to you, together with a report from the Commission on Race and Housing concerning nationwide practices in the housing industry. It is our belief that we would not like to see the proposed ordinance weakened in any way, specifically that financial institutions not be exempted and that the use of injunctive relief not be omitted. Second, we feel that the proposed housing ordinance needs to be strengthened along several lines in keeping with the statement of principles which has previously been adopted by the Board of Directors of the Ann Arbor Washtenaw Council of Churches, namely that multiple housing should be defined as three or more units, whether contiguous or not, and also including land, in order to be consistent with the Ann Arbor City Zoning Ordinance. Second, that the ordinance should be strengthened and amended to cover real estate brokers, builders, and developers, since a major source of discrimination arises from their actions, as documented in the excerpts from the Commission of Race and Housing, which have previously been submitted. Third, that discrimination in advertising should be covered. Fourth, that provisions prohibiting the practice of blockbusting should be included. Fifth, that the publicly assisted housing provision should not be limited by the clause after the effective date hereof, but should apply to existing publicly assisted housing as well as that which is publicly assisted in the future. And finally, that serious consideration should be given to the establishment of a specific fair housing agency. There is some question as to whether this should be the function of the Human Relations Commission. Thank you very much.
Hey, Mr. Donald Pelz, representing the Ann Arbor Council of Churches. There have been 24 speakers at this public hearing, all speaking for the ordinance.
Mr. Mayor, Council, I will not read this statement. You can look it over at your leisure. It's a summary of a study that I've been in the stages of preparing during the last 3 weeks, and I hope to forward it to you in the near future. Briefly, I've studied my study has been based primarily on the census data and other data that I've gathered from the University of Michigan. And I've confined myself pretty much to the rental area. On the basis of my study, I would say that it's extremely important in the campus area that the definition of mobile dwelling units be changed as it's now stated in the proposed ordinance, and instead that the definitions of mobile dwelling units and rooming houses incorporated in the city zoning code be enacted instead. This would be namely that three or more units, as has been repeated many times tonight, be covered, or in the case of a rooming house where more than four persons are rented to, that this be covered. I think it's I think it would be quite reasonable that an exemption for persons who rented to less than four to owners or tenants who rented to less than four persons within their own home be enacted. This is also consistent with the zoning code. in the this by bringing 5 down to 3, we would move from roughly 60% coverage of the rental units in the campus area. We'd add another quarter or so, another 25% of the rental units. I'll go into this in more detail in my later report. In the local area, we find quite a different picture, and in a sense, we almost need a different ordinance for the local area. Multiple dwelling units aren't too important, I think, to the local area picture. Granted, well, partly because the bulk of the local Negro community here is unable to afford the higher rents that we find in many of these mobile dwelling units. The only areas of mobile dwelling units that they could afford to rent, by and large, would be in the Pittsfield Village and Knob Hill developments, and an area of older mobile dwelling units just west of the Ann Arbor Railroad tracks. What's important in the local area in terms of rentals to cover would be the single-family and two-family dwelling unit. And in this instance, I would recommend that all these structures that are owner unoccupied be covered. In other words, all rentals in the single-family units and all rentals in duplex units where the owner is not present in the structure be covered. And here I think an exemption that would be valid would be an owner who is temporarily vacating his one-family dwelling or his two-family dwelling be permitted to make the first rental without coverage. Any rentals thereafter then would be covered because it's evident that he has, in fact, permanently vacated the structure. So with these two areas of recommendation, namely adopting the zoning ordinance mobile accommodations definition to gain better coverage in the campus area, and covering owner-unoccupied structures and the remaining types of units to get at the one-family and duplex-type housing in the local area. These would be my major recommendations on the basis of my study, and I do hope to forward this to the Human Relations Commission and to you in the very near future. Thank you very much.
That was a Mr. Bissell. He is either a student at the University of Michigan or on the staff or faculty here at the university, giving a brief summary of a study that he is preparing. Here's Mayor Creel.
Everyone should be allowed a chance to express themselves. We do have 15 minutes before we will close this hearing. Anybody else would like to speak? Please give your name and your address and who you represent.
Your Honor and members of the council, my name is Russell Fuller. I am the president of the Ann Arbor Washington All Council of Churches, pastor of Memorial Christian Church here in Ann Arbor. I wish to speak to you this evening as a Christian pastor and as a concerned American citizen. In January, there was held in Chicago a national conference of religion and race, drawing together from Catholic, Protestant, and Jewish leadership throughout the nation, people who were concerned to speak what their religious faith had to say about America's concern for racism. Let me share with you a few words from this conference. Racism is our most serious domestic evil. We must eradicate it with all diligence and speed. For this purpose, we appeal to the consciences of the American people. This evil has deep roots. It will not be easily eradicated. While the Declaration of Independence did declare that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, slavery was permitted for almost a century. Even after the Emancipation Proclamation, compulsory racial segregation and its degrading badge of racial inequality received judicial sanction until our own time. We rejoice in such recent evidences of greater wisdom and courage in our national life as the Supreme Court decisions against segregation and the heroic nonviolent protests of thousands of Americans. However, we mourn the fact that patterns of segregation remain entrenched everywhere, north and south, east and west. the spirit and the letter of our laws are mocked and violated. Our primary concern is for the laws of God. We Americans of all religious faiths have been slow to recognize that racial discrimination and desegregation are an insult to God, the giver of human dignity and human rights. Even worse, we have all participated in perpetuating racial discrimination and segregation in civil, political, industrial, social, and private life. And worse still, in our houses of worship, our religious schools, hospitals, welfare institutions, and fraternal organizations, we have often failed our own religious commitments. With few exceptions, we have evaded the mandates and rejected the promises of the faith we represent. We repent our failures, and we ask the forgiveness of God. We ask also the forgiveness of our brothers, whose rights we have ignored and whose dignity we have offended. We call for a renewed religious conscience to this basically moral evil. Our appeal to the American people is this: seek a reign of justice in which voting rights and equal protection of the law will everywhere be enjoyed. Public facilities and private ones serving a public purpose will be accessible to all. Equal education and cultural opportunities, hiring and promotion, medical and hospital care, open occupancy and housing will be available to all. We call upon all the American people to work, to pray, and to act courageously in the cause of human dignity while there is still time, to eliminate racism permanently and decisively, to seize the historic opportunity the Lord has given us for healing an ancient rupture in the human family, to do this for the glory of God. I think this represents what the religious conscience of America speaks. I think this represents what the political, what the idealism of America's political system has forever spoken of. But certainly the testimony spoken here tonight indicates that in our city, we are making a mockery of our belief in God, we are making a mockery of our American ideals, and the time is not to go on forever. I am concerned about the moral fiber of our community, and I am concerned about the young people of our community. And I would ask, therefore, that in view of the obvious success of other legislation, FEPC and other things of this sort, we know that though we may not legislate morality, laws can help to arouse and to serve the conscience, which is the conscience of America's religious people. And I therefore would beg of you to legislate firmly, to legislate decisively for justice for the people of our city. I would further ask that you legislate with integrity and with honesty. We have heard testimony after testimony here tonight about the basic problems. The weakness of the present document as presented to the council has been pointed to in almost the same words by every concerned group to speak here. It is to you, the members of our council, knowing the problems, having no opportunity to dodge the facts of the case, to realize that unless we who are the elders of the city, unless we who are the responsible leaders of a community, can act on the basis of our convictions and put into law what we say we believe, our American society has no chance, and we can expect nothing but that our youth will see through our own moral flabbiness. And is this not the problem that our council and our city youth commission has had to face and is facing with increasing concern? I beg of you, therefore, knowing the facts that have been presented, let us not place before this city a piece of legislation which does not tackle the problem as it is in this community, but rather let us place before our community a piece of legislation, a strengthened ordinance that will represent what we say we believe, what our Christian faith and our Jewish faith has taught through the centuries, and what this nation of ours stands for in the eyes of the world. Thank you, sir.
Reverend Russell Fuller, President of the Ann Arbor Washtenaw County Council of Churches. Here is the next speaker.
My name is Edwin Waldrop, and I am a property owner. I live at 1711 Shadford Road. Now, I must admit that my heart was touched tonight when those two ladies got up and told how they were victims of discrimination in our city, and when this young graduate student got up and told how he too was a victim of discriminatory practices. This is a problem which we have. It is a problem which is real, and it's a problem which we've got to do something about. This I agree with 100%. But the thing that amazes me, frankly, is that the proposed legislation, the proposed ordinance that is now before the council got so far, because I feel that it is a poor ordinance. I feel that the ordinance, as you are now considering it, proposes to substitute one form of discrimination for another. And that is, it proposes to discriminate against anyone who owns property in Ann Arbor. Now, in the first place, in this proposed ordinance, there's no control of overcrowding. There is no attempt on the part of that ordinance, either in spirit or reading between the lines, to prevent two families from going together, going to the court, getting an injunction, and forcing an owner in one of our subdivisions to sell property to two or three families, and 15 or 20 people will move in, where three or four people were intended to live. Now, this sort of thing, I just leave it to your imagination what could happen to property values under these conditions. Now, another thing, the proposed ordinance gives no consideration on the ability to pay of the person who makes an offer. I have my house, it's up for sale. A fellow walks in, he says, I offer so much on the house. Another fellow comes in and says, I offer so much. The first one does not have the money. I may have to go to court to get the right to sell my house. Now, another thing, overshadowing every real estate transaction in Ann Arbor will be the threat of injunction. Government by injunction was abandoned in the labor unions in the Norris LaGuardia Act in 1930. Now, government by injunction will not work in labor in this type of relations either, in my opinion. Now, further, I feel that if the legislation goes through as it is written, it will open a brand new field for the rascal. That fellow who comes around and makes an offer on my house when I'm trying to sell it, threatens me with legal action, and then ask for a payoff, so I will get rid of him. Now, what do I suggest? I suggest that we take the present injunction, that we tear it up, and we throw it away. And I suggest that we sit down in a spirit of goodwill, Christian goodwill, and we try to work out a procedure that will protect our community, that will give our minority groups their rights without resort to legal action. I believe it can be done. I might add that I'm an executive with Hoover Ball and Bearing. In the labor unions, we have learned to deal with problems of this nature without going to court. Thank you.
Mr. Edwin Walker, a property owner in the city of Ann Arbor. Mayor Creel has called for one more speaker.
Mayor Creel, members of the council, I had thought perhaps I would speak at the next hearing, but after the last speaker, I thought perhaps I had to make my comments felt tonight. I'm William R. Brewer. I transferred to your fair city approximately a year ago. Since that time, I have been looking very diligently for adequate housing for my family. I do not intend the kind of housing for my family that the gentleman just mentioned. I will buy a house in Ann Arbor for the Brewer family, consisting of my wife and my two children. I have contacted many of your fair-minded people here. Some of them have been quite helpful. I must give special comment to the church group. It's been quite helpful in locating housing. They give me a list of housing I looked at. Nothing I saw was suitable. Nothing I saw I liked. More recently, I have been making deposits around Ann Arbor. Perhaps some of these deposits have been accepted because of the gathering here tonight. I don't know. Whether or not they will be finally accepted may depend on what you do here tonight. Now, I have money sufficient to buy a home. I lived in Ann Arbor before as a university student, finished 52. I've been employed by the federal government since that time. I am qualified to buy a home. Tell some of your real estate dealers to contact me. My telephone number is 38541, extension 318.
Here's Mayor Creel.
My name is Smith, and I am another greasy landlord. And I want to make a few comments about legislation that would probably enable me to rent more freely to people as they come. I would be very much in favor of such legislation. But I feel that there's a spirit here that discriminates against landlords. I like to feel that I've invested my savings for the general welfare and that I work for that purpose. I've always I've always gone up on the principle of open housing probably for 12 years or more. I do want to ask this, however. Is there any way to make this legislation a two-way street? I'm perfectly willing to rent to people as they come. There is this that happens occasionally. If I rent freely, somebody who's already in there may move out. Somebody may move out of my apartments. This happened at the beginning of this year. I had a vacancy for 2 months because I rented to a colored person, and then one of the occupants already in moved out. I'm just wondering if there's any possibility of directing this legislation at the problem itself, which is prejudice, and not necessarily directing the legislation at the person who owns the property. I think that most of us, I hope, are willing to be American in the sense of admitting all people are equal.
Would you give your name and address again, please?
My name is Edgar Smith, 414 Lawrence. Okay.
Well, that will conclude the hearing this evening. I have just one or two announcements to make. Mr. Bandemer was tied up in a meeting from 7 o'clock on and was unable to get here. I would say that you have been a very orderly group, and certainly conducting this hearing, I thank you very much. I'm sure you'll all vote for the new Constitution, which has a very strong civil rights section, because this will be one step forward. Thank you very much. The hearing is concluded.
That was the mayor of the city of Ann Arbor, Cecil O. Creel. Here is a statement by Councilwoman Eunice Burns.
That talk, or Mr. Waldrop and Mr. Smith, I just would suggest that perhaps if they want to find out more about this ordinance and what it will cover, that they might contact any of these groups that have been studying this for years, some of them. I don't know, I got quite a thrill out of listening to people tonight. I feel it is the conscience, a good deal of the conscience of Ann Arbor speaking. It was not an emotional outburst. These people have been studying this problem and have thought about it and have come to these conclusions. Also, we had people here tonight who have experienced these things. Other methods have been tried. Home, the housing opportunities made equal program, open occupancy statements. These have not been enough, and these people that have tried these ways of trying to solve this problem have found that they are not enough. Now, let me just say that I have studied this ordinance, I've studied the amendments, and I know it's impossible tonight, but I'd be ready to pass it with all the amendments tonight, right now, if we could. I too believe we must let everyone talk on this that wishes to. But I would like to say that in order that it not appear to be a calculated delay, could we ask that all the people that would like to be heard at future public hearings either call the mayor or their councilman or drop a postcard so we know about how many more would like to be heard on this?
The last speaker was Councilwoman Eunice Burns. She is one of the two Democratic members of the Ann Arbor City Council. There are 10 members of the Ann Arbor City Council plus the mayor of the city, making a total of 11. After these public hearings, this one and any subsequent one that the mayor may choose to designate at a certain time, there will be a deep study made of the proposed amendments, and eventually, after a second reading, the measure will become the law in the city. New York and Pittsburgh have had their ordinances for some years. The one in Toledo is presently going through the courts to test its legality, and the Berkeley, California ordinance, as passed only recently by the city government, is on the ballot for April 2nd to get the California residents' views of the city of Berkeley. Mayor Cecil Creel of Ann Arbor has said that the Ann Arbor ordinance, as finally passed, might be sent to the voters of this city for their acceptance or rejection. Tonight we heard 29 speakers at this public hearing and the old city hall in Ann Arbor on the proposed fair housing ordinance. Of these 29, 27 were for the ordinance as written or for strengthening the ordinance. Two were against it, but not too strongly. We might add here a statement which was made by President Harlan Hatcher of the University of Michigan, the president. He addressed it to the mayor of the city and to the council members. The letter was delivered and received last night at the regular city council meeting. Dr. Hatcher said, "In order to make clear the attitude of the University of Michigan and its president on the subject of fair housing legislation now being considered by the City Council of Ann Arbor, I should like to say that I earnestly recommend and vigorously support fair housing for this community and all communities. I pray that it may be accomplished with goodwill and warm human understanding. The university wishes to work with the Ann Arbor community in all matters of mutual interest. It does not wish to dictate legislation or tell the city how to conduct its affairs, but it heartily favors a fair housing ordinance, particularly because the Ann Arbor community is so closely linked with the University of Michigan as the residents of so many faculty and students of every race. Most sincerely, signed, Harlan Hatcher, President of the University of Michigan." Tonight you've been listening to a public hearing on the proposed fair housing ordinance for the city of Ann Arbor, brought to you direct from the council chambers in Ann Arbor's Old City Hall. Tonight, members of the City Council and the mayor listened to a number of citizens state their views and suggestions on this ordinance. These comments now will be reviewed by the Human Relations Commission and by the council at next Monday's informal working session. Mayor Creel has said that there will be at least one more public hearing on this important matter, and possibly two more. If passed in its present state, Ann Arbor would become the fifth city in the country to have an ordinance which deals with discrimination in certain segments of private real estate. At this time, the stations carrying this present public hearing do not know whether or not the succeeding hearings will be broadcast. However, if so, there will be announcements to that effect on all of these stations. And of course, we would all appreciate a letter from you to the station to which you're listening
on this particular broadcast. My name is Fred Hindley. I'm speaking for WUOM, the University of Michigan station in Ann Arbor. Tonight's broadcast originated with radio station WUOM, the University of Michigan, and was a news public service program of the University of Michigan Broadcasting Service. This is WUOM in Ann Arbor.
From the French Broadcasting System, we present Masterworks from France. Masterworks from France, specially transcribed in Paris for this station, brings you treasures, ancient and modern.